Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato. After the Thunder's 109-104 win over the New Orleans Pelicans, Joe, it's a bit of a deja vu.
I swear we've seen this before.
We've seen this, like this exact game play out so many times. Tonight they were able to salvage it in the fourth quarter, but that third quarter again, they can't figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know if they're what's the answer. I mean, like, Billy Donovan is clearly, he's frustrated with the third quarter performances. He might be even more frustrated by the constant stream of questions about the third quarter. But again, tonight, 31-17, they were outscored by 14 in the quarter after having a 9-point halftime lead. And like Billy has said all season, he always says, it feels like we're playing from behind. It feels like we're playing from behind. That's because they get behind in the third quarter, and they have to come back like they did tonight.
Well, what's crazy is, I mean, third quarter rotations are very similar to first quarter rotations. And in the first quarter, the Thunder scored 34 points.
Yeah.
Granted, the Pelicans switched things up a little bit. They had Okafor in there matched up with Steven Adams because Steven Adams was giving Jackson Hayes a lot of problems on the Jackson Hayes' defensive end, on the Pelicans' defense. And he started out super hot. But, I mean, still, that doesn't explain why they went from scoring 34 points in the first to 17 in the third.
No. And, yeah, I mean, the rotations are very similar. I think it's as simple as, like, an effort thing. I mean, it's the same guys who are out there. You know, sometimes it comes against teams that are just clearly better than them. That's not the case tonight. These two teams are pretty even. But, you know, I looked up the stat yesterday for a story I wrote today. The Thunder has the worst third quarter defense in the NBA. And if they were even 15th in third quarter defense, they'd be, I think, a top five defense in the league. So they have a top five second quarter defense, a top five fourth quarter defense, and then they're dead last in third quarter defense.
That's wild. I hate chalking things up to effort because no one ever wants to lose or wants to get behind.
It's also like impossible to prove.
Right, right. So we end up just being like, hey, we don't know. Yeah. Here's a thing. Same with urgency, where you're just like, they're not playing with urgency. It's like, well, that's not something. I mean, you can point to things that might suggest that, like, hey, they aren't getting back in transition, or I don't know, things like that. Oh, they're taking a bunch of bad shots, but those aren't really, they're not quantifiable. And
we want numbers.
Not that everything has to be proven with numbers, but if you can't just solve, I mean, it's been a constant issue. And I don't think that it's something that you can solve just by having talks about it, which the Thunder obviously has been doing. And Billy Donovan said before the game, like, yes, we've had conversations about this. Like, yes, it's been a theme, and yes, it's something that we're trying to address. But it's one of those things where it's hard to fix by just talking about it when you don't know what exactly it is. You know, like, if it's like, oh, they're scoring in transition, we need to get back earlier, like Billy Donovan talked about before the game, like they need their transition defense to start getting back basically when the ball is still in the air. That's something that you can take and you can do because you know exactly what the mechanics are, saying like, hey, we need to come out with more energy. That's a lot harder of an adjustment to make. And the thing is, it's not even happening in the same part of the quarter every time. Like, sometimes you have them coming out of halftime and looking sluggish. Sometimes they come out halftime great and then lose it by the end. It's weird.
Maybe it's some, like, reverse coaching. Like, it's so easy to have a scouting report on the Thunder. They don't play well in the third quarter. maybe Alvin Gentry's hammering that point home. Like, hey, these guys don't play well in the third quarter. Let's take blitz advantage. Them in the third quarter. And maybe all these teams are like super pumped up in the third quarter because they know that. And the Thunder's looking around like, what the heck is going on?
Who is this team that we're playing?
Everyone plays us so hard in the third quarter. Maybe that's it. Hey, I don't know.
Whatever works. Anyways.
I'm out of guesses.
Now that we've started on such a low note. The feeling in the locker room was pretty positive, too. Chris Paul called it their best team win of the season. And, I mean, the easiest numbers, since we're talking about quantifiables, are the 25 points from Dennis Schroeder and 19 points from Abdul Nader off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, let's start with Nader. You wrote about him for your game story. He had 23, a career high, 2 days ago at Portland, and most of those were in the fourth quarter. They didn't really matter. They were against...
it was very much garbage time.
The end of the Blazers bench.
The garbagiest of garbage time.
The trashiest of garbage time. And tonight, he had 13 in the first half. I mean, he led all Thunder players in scoring in the first half, so that tells you like when his points came and how impactful they were, and he hit some really big shots down the stretch.
Yeah, he did. I mean, first half, I mean, he started off strong. He looked confident getting to the basket. He was swishing. I'm not exaggerating. Swishing threes, multiple. He went 4 of 5 from the 3-point
line.
Looked
confident.
But for me, the really important part to point to with him was that fourth quarter when like the game's really on the line, because he didn't play much of that third quarter. So it was basically he was in when the Thunder had already gotten the lead, and he was playing really well, but he was just adding to that lead. And so he gets in at the end of the third quarter, and for most of the fourth, he didn't get pulled until like less than two minutes left on the clock. And in those situations, let's see, yeah, he subbed in with 2.5 minutes left in the third. Did he play most of the fourth? Did he ever get subbed out? This is really good podcasting. And I'm pretty sure he just played.
I'm enjoying this.
I'm pretty sure he just played until a couple minutes left in the fourth.
Yeah, I mean, I think there you could have made the case that, you know, Billy could have left him in there with as well as he was playing offensively and wasn't giving up a ton defensively. I mean, that's been his crutch.
I still don't want him closing if I'm coaching. I'm not, but but yeah. Yeah, he subbed out 1:51 left. So, I mean, so the most impressive part for me, he did have a terrible shot that missed wide, and I'd been loosely planning on writing him for my game story. At that point, I turned to Joe. I was like, "Oh no!"
Hit nothing but glass.
I got a switch. So he had a couple of those moments. JJ Redick got left. He was guarding JJ Redick for a bit. He got left open at one point. I'm not 100% sure that was his fault. He played pretty good defense. He did a good job when he got switched on to Brandon Ingram. Even though Ingram scored, he like followed him. Although Ingram was like very excited about this isolation situation and went in and came back out and then drove to the rim again. And Nader contested it hard, and Ingram just was great and scored. But he played good defense. And on offense, his decision-making was so good. Like, one of his threes that he had in that fourth quarter, we watched him last year, and Dennis Schroeder talked about this. He joked, like, whenever he got the ball in his hands, it just went up. You know, like, he wasn't really able to make those, like, pressure situation decisions where, should I pass? Should I drive? Should I shoot? And just be like, okay, I guess I'll shoot. But he had this one play where he drove to the basket, got stopped, kicked it out to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, then backpedaled out to the perimeter, called for the ball, and got a wide open three. And so that's all him doing that work to get an open three, and he made it. And he had, you know, a great assist dishing off to Nerlens Noel and all these other moments where he chose not to shoot, and that was the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, if he can be competent defensively, which I thought he was tonight, like, that's the baseline. He gives them so much more because of what he can do offensively. Now, when Hamidou Diallo comes back, and he's going to be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks because of that hyperextension sprain in his elbow, like, Billy has already said Diallo's getting a spot back in the rotation. That doesn't mean Nader's going to get completely shut out. But it's interesting to me that you have one guy primarily filling the minutes of a guy who got hurt, and they play completely different styles of basketball. Nader is offense first, doesn't always give you a lot defensively. Diallo is a career like 16% three-point shooter, can get to the basket, but is primarily in there to play defense and to match up against the other team's best or second best offensive wing. So it's interesting how they've had to tinker with this lineup because of that injury, but so far so good for Abdul Nader.
Yeah, and he's not taking, I mean, he's getting most of his minutes tonight. He had 22.5 minutes.
Diallo's averaging like 21 a game.
Yeah, so Burton's getting a couple extra minutes here and there. He had about 10, which was, Nader had been getting around that amount, but I think the 22.5 that you saw tonight was a testament to how well he was playing.
Yeah, and when those minutes came, I mean, in that Golden State and Portland game, like, he wasn't playing those kind of minutes earlier in the game. Like, he wasn't in that sort of role that he was tonight. And bench scoring fueled this Thunder win. Nader had 19, and then Dennis Schroeder had 25. He needed 24 shots to get there, and like, he hit, I think, three either game tying or go ahead jump shots in that fourth quarter. Like, he was huge down the stretch. But I asked Billy after the game, like, you know, obviously he was a spark plug for off the bench, but are you okay with the 24 shots? And he was like, basically, it's a balance. Like, you could tell he wasn't happy with them all. Like, some of them came out of the rhythm of the offense, and like, Schroeder kind of took over a little bit too much. But he said, we were floundering out there. Like, no one, like, it was more of a stubbornness to win. Like, he just wanted to will them to win. And that's what he said.
Yeah, there were times when you were just like, why do you still have the ball in your hand, Dennis? Like, where he was just dribbling around and out. And sometimes he did that in a way that was effective. And sometimes it was just like, please get rid of the ball. Please, please pass to someone else. Please let someone else be involved here. So, I mean, there were chunks of really inefficient shooting for him. But like you said, very clutch down the stretch, and a huge part of why the Thunder was able to pull up the win.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll take it just because it was, I mean, 11 of 24, they'll take that any day, but some of the shots were not efficient. He did have the Thunder's best plus minus tonight. He's probably the Thunder's best offensive player at, like, just getting a bucket out of nothing. Because, like Gallinari is obviously a great shooter. Chris Paul is so crafty. Same with Shea. But, like, Dennis Schroeder's just, like, faster than everyone most of the time and can just blow by guys and, like, make something out of nothing.
Yeah, and he'll push. He has a combination of pushing the pace and holding the ball for too long. I guess maybe it evens out. But he can get out in transition and really push the pace and play a little Russell Westbrook-like in a way. I'm not comparing the two. Please don't say that. I think that Dennis Schroeder is Russell Westbrook, but they have a similar style.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, especially speed-wise. The play that stood out to me, this tied it at 93, is when Schroeder just broke J.J. Reddick's ankles.
Oh, my gosh.
And Reddick was so upset about it. He thought it was a push-off. The crowd was ooing and aahing. And then the next time back down the floor, Reddick's still talking, gets teed up. So J.J. Reddick is obviously a great player, but he was embarrassed on that play.
That was, the whole arena was just, oh!
Nothing gets people going like a crossover leading to broken ankles.
Uh-huh. I almost asked him. I didn't, but I was tempted to ask him, like, because last season, Paul George said that when you break someone's ankles, it's a 95% shot for him. He just pulled that out. Like, no one asked, like, how often is that? He's like, he just decided, yeah, that's a 95% shot for me. And someone asked, like, how do you know? He's like, oh, I like went back and looked at him.
There's a lot of advanced stats now. Stats like field goal percentage off broken ankles is not a stat that exists, but it should.
It really should. So I was tempted to ask to Schroeder what his, if he also shot 95% off of breaking guys' ankles.
Yeah, no one really remembers it if it doesn't go in.
Right.
Like, you have to finish it.
Right. Also, he said that Paul George said that he went back and like watched the clips on YouTube. They're not going to show up on YouTube if you missed.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Probably 100% there, Paul.
he also said that he always wins the 3-point contests, and someone was like, I literally just watched someone else win. He was like, well, you got to say that if it's most of the time.
Confident guy. But yeah, I mean, that bench scoring, the Thunder sent us the stat, 59. It's a two-game sample, so please. But 59.5 points per game off the bench in their last two games.
Yeah, pretty impressive and needed.
Needed.
At least this game.
Needed, especially because,
Portland, that has to come with a large asterisk because
most of those bench points came
in garbage time.
Garbage time. But one more thing on Schroeder. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was not very good tonight. 4 of 13. Chris Paul was 3 of 9. So
he was more, we're bashing him for the 24 shots, but more efficient than either of those two.
Yeah, and like, I should have asked Billy this after the game. They're hardly ever going to that 3-point guard lineup, but they finish with it almost every game. And it's like, to me, it's a little strange of, you want your best players out there to close a close game in the fourth quarter, but it's a little weird where they only have those minutes together. They don't have any like minutes to get in the flow in like second quarter, so stuff like that.
We'll ask them tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll let you know next time.
Next time on Thunder Buddies.
I mentioned Steven Adams really quickly, but to come back to him, he was just ruining Jackson Hayes' night.
Oh, sorry for Jackson Hayes.
for that beginning of the first quarter. He scored
3 straight buckets.
Right, which was like, that was the Thunder's only scoring?
Yeah, Thunder's first 3 shots were from Steven Adams.
Steven Adams, and he, like, one of them he may have traveled, but he just essentially ran over Jackson Hayes. Jackson Hayes was still stumbling backwards by the time Steven went up for the shot. And, like, Jackson Hayes, young guy, not very big. Steven Adams, solid. Physically, it just was not working out for him on defense.
No, and like you could tell straight away that was the game plan because they didn't have Derek Favors tonight, and like they said, Steven, go after Jackson Hayes, and Steven said, okay. And like
and
those 3 makes, he started 5 of 5. Jackson Hayes was the 8th overall pick. The key note here is that he's 45 pounds lighter than Steven Adams and does not have the muscle. I mean, he's 19, maybe 20. He's really, really young. Fun fact on Jackson Hayes, because I wrote about this guy last year when he played at Texas. He was born in Norman. His mom coached under Sherry Cole on the women's basketball staff at OU. His dad coached under Bob Stoops on the football staff. He moved to Cincinnati when he was little, but it's kind of a kind of a cool little mini homecoming for Jackson Hayes. But he was so bad defensively that Alvin Gentry turned to Julio Okafor to start that second half.
Yeah, that was smart. Second quarter.
It's like, well, he started the – Okafor started the second half as well, third quarter. They didn't go with their normal starters.
They matched him up with Steven Adams just to get a bigger-bodied guy on him.
And he did, like, Steven Adams disappeared for, like, until the last minute of the game, basically. Like, he started 5 of 5. He didn't make his next he attempted 3 during the stretch, but he didn't score again until that crazy putback in the last minute. And then he had the dunk over Okafor to seal it. So he, good start, good finish, not much in between.
Yeah, we've seen that before where Steven Adams will start out really hot and then the Thunder will kind of go away from him. I think tonight the Pelicans were able to force that some, but after the first quarter he was leading the team with 10 points and he finished the night with, wait for it, 14. So...
Yeah, all in all, it was a good... Billy was asked again tonight if he has a minutes restriction, and again, it's a no, but 24. I mean, that's a...
He's been about 25 for the last few games.
Yeah, New Orleans played... He also played 24, so they basically split time tonight.
Yeah, and Dennis Schroeder was asked about that last dunk that he set him up for, and he said, like, He focused in on how happy he was for Steven. He like explained the play first, but then was asked about his celebration, and he said how happy he was for him because he has been battling through injury and has been able to have great performances like this. I'd count it as a great, even though he kind of went away for a bit. I'd count this as a great performance, even though he has been dealing still with that knee contusion. It's being pesky.
Yeah, it's such a strange situation. Like, if he's hurt, why is he playing? And then it's like, he's not on a minutes restriction, but they're monitoring his minutes. Like, it's just, at this point, I think we know what to expect. Like, that 24 to 25 minute type range every night for him. But it's hard to tell, like, it's hard to blame anything on injury at this point, even though everyone's bringing it up, because it's like, well, he's still out there. And like, if he's out there, you expect him to perform at like a normal Steven Adams level, even though he hasn't. Yeah. Tonight he did.
He's had spots. He's just... Yeah, the first time he came back from sitting out, he looked fantastic. So it's been a bit of an up and down season for him. But great start and finish for him tonight. That dunk was gnarly, too. He just one-handed forced his way up to the rim, finished it with the left hand.
It caught me off guard. Pretty, like, I didn't think he had the space to do it.
Yeah, and then he just poop.
Yeah. It was just like, wow, where did that come from?
It was awesome. And then Pelicans immediately called a timeout, and the Thunder bench was just going wild. They all came off. Everyone was flexing, and yeah, it was over
Okafor, right? I don't think Hayes was in there. By the way, on the Okafor Hayes thing, Hayes was minus 17, which was the worst on the Pelicans, and Okafor was plus 12, which was by far the best.
Yeah. So second best was plus 5.
that match, like, I mean, it would have embarrassed Jackson Hayes, but like, Alvin Gentry should have called the timeout after that first possession and made the switch.
Like, never mind, I've made a mistake.
Like, Julio Okafor is not known as a good defensive player, but he's just so much bigger than Jackson Hayes. Yeah. Like, at some point, all you have to do is get in the way a little bit better.
Stay sturdy.
Keep growing, Jackson Hayes. I think you have good potential.
Oh, that's a good place as any to wrap it up, because we're going to be talking about this team again in a couple of days.
I was going to say game two, but it's game three, but game two in 2 days, basically.
Yeah.
3 days. Three
that,
days.
That good old home and home. So, thanks for tuning in. Happy Thanksgiving. Belated Thanksgiving. I think we said that.
I hope
the day before too.
Your family enjoyed listening to us over their Thanksgiving meal.
Thanks so much for playing the Thunder Buddies podcast for your friends and family. Like
Big
it,
hit.
Subscribe, share it with your friends, family, pets, enemies. I should really need to stop putting the enemies after the pets.
Put enemies. You should.
Well. I guess dog's man's best friend. So the opposite is.
Yeah, exactly.
Your enemy.
It's like worst human friend. Well, it wouldn't be a friend, just like worst human.
Worst human. Your biggest human nemesis.
Yeah.
Share it with your man's best friend and human nemesis, and we will see you on
Sunday.
Guys, days of the week.
I'm used to the Friday Monday stuff, but this is Sunday now.
Yeah, days of the week just disappear when you're on an NBA beat. We will see you on Sunday after Thunder at Home.